Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help on your quest to a satisfied mind. And today, Dave and I are talking about the toll that grumbling takes on the deep part of our human souls. And once again, some of the best examples of the worst qualities are found in God's people within the God story.
You know, one time I heard a quote that said, basically, you know, the man couldn't write this book because it's so supernatural, but he wouldn't write it either because it's just so unflattering.
We want to write the better part.
So let's just get right into the whole grumbling thing. You know, you might be listening right now.
I don't want to talk about this.
That's really more of a whine, isn't it, than a grumble. But
I can do both.
Grumbling is so destructive to the heart, and it's so opposite of gratitude that to really look at the examples in the scriptures of this can be really instructive and helpful, because sometimes you just don't know where to draw the line between those two things. And I start out in Exodus 16. And often one of the reasons that we grumble or are discontent, we look at what we have and we think we deserve more. And in the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your grumblings against the Lord. And what we are, and who are we, and what are we that you grumble against us, says Moses. So he's kind of saying, hey, you're going to hear from God. Here you are grumbling against us. Moses said, this will happen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and bread to the full in the morning. For the Lord hears your grumblings, which you grumble against him. And what are we? Your grumblings are not against us, but they're against the Lord. Now, that's a huge principle right there. And you know, there's the drama that's unfolding here with the people. You know, they're out traveling. It's after the Exodus. They're hungry. They're thirsty, and they're grumbling and complaining to Moses and Aaron. And basically, Moses and Aaron are saying, "Hey, who are we? You know, we're not the ones that delivered you out of the land of Egypt. Let's consult the one who is doing the delivering."
So, are you saying that when I complain or when I grumble, you know, about my boss, or the weather, or the president, or the media, whatever it is in my life, whether it's out loud or silent, are you saying that I'm actually complaining to God about himself?
Well, that depends on how, if you feel like you deserve more or you deserve better. I mean, the world is a nasty place, and there are difficulties. It's a hurting place, so you can look at the world and kind of go, well, I'm not getting what I really want out of the whole deal, or you can and grumble, or or you can trust God that he is overseeing everything, just like Moses had to do, and just like they were asking the people to do. You know, and it wasn't that God wasn't able to provide, but instead of asking God to provide, they grumbled. I mean, how...
They skipped a step.
How sad is that?
Yeah.
Well, it also happens when you dislike your circumstances. Fast forward a little bit to Numbers 14. As for the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land and who returned and made all the congregation grumble against him by bringing out a bad report concerning the land. I love this story because, you know, of those 12 spies that were sent, two of them said, let's go. Yeah, there's giants in the land. It's difficult. It looks like it's going to be tough, but God is the one who's going ahead of us. And that was Joshua and Caleb. And they were the only ones who made it through the next 40 years.
Yeah, I think that's interesting that 10 came back and all they came back to talk about were they saw only obstacles. And Joshua and Caleb came back. They talked about the enormous grapes, just the lush land. They talked about all the things. And then the obstacles that they did notice just didn't seem to be obstacles to them because they just knew God could just handle it.
Well, in our circle of friends, we joke a lot about the whole glass half full or half empty. And, you know, we have fun with it. But it's part of how we just kind of talk about how we're perceiving things and looking at things. And when you don't like your circumstances and the fallback position is the glass is you know, it's half full, you know, or half empty, and making that decision, that's a difficult thing to figure out how to do and not grumble in the midst of that, because every tough situation is an opportunity, but it's an opportunity to invite God in the midst of things, whether it's providing for manna or for meat or whatever it might be.
I find that it just takes practice. That's a part of it. It's being humble and being grateful, but then also just practicing going to God before I grumble.
So we think we deserve better, and there are times when we dislike our circumstances. Another thing you can learn from the sons of Israel about what not to do when it comes to grumbling is we grumble when we need a scapegoat.
Mm-hmm.
We want to have somebody to blame.
Mm-hmm. Somebody else's fault.
Therefore, you and I, this is out of number 16, therefore you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord. But as for Aaron, who is he that you grumble against him? You know, there we are always looking for somebody to scapegoat or to blame, you know, whether it's a president, a congressman, you know, a pastor, a teacher, a husband, a wife, whatever it might be, rather than, hey, what's the God solution in this situation? Why do we need to grumble against one another when we can go to the living God and ask him to deliver us rather than getting sucked into grumbling?
And they paid big time for doing that.
They did. In fact, that's being reflected here in 1 Corinthians 10. And it kind of ends the whole, you know, my perspective on grumbling. Grumbling is self-destructive. It's like mm-hmm. the opposite of faith. Faith preserves the soul.
Right.
Grumbling devours.
It
just eats it up.
It's ravaging.
And, this particular story is kind of reflecting on everything that Paul saw that happened among the Israelites
mm-hmm.
in Numbers and Exodus. And Leviticus and Deuteronomy, but particularly those first two books. And he's explaining how grumbling is self-destructive, faith preserves the soul. And this is great advice. If you want to summarize a whole bunch of what we learned from the travels of the sons of Israel, it's right here. Now, these things happened as examples for us so that we would not crave evil things just as they also craved. Don't be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. That's the golden calf. Nor let us act immorally as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. So the consequences of grumbling is very destructive.
So when Moses came down after getting the Ten Commandments, who knows how long he'd been gone, but it wasn't that long. And when he came down, the people had already decided to party and build a golden calf and worship it, basically. So they were having this big party. And as Moses comes down...
So apparently they thought it was long enough.
Yes. And as Moses comes down, they start going, oh, are they singing songs of praises or are they doing what? And they were like, Joshua was with him and said, no, those sounds are not good sounds. And God took care of that. 23,000 were killed in that day.
That's incredible, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? Nor let us, and this is interesting, test the Lord as some of them did, and they were destroyed by the serpents. Nor grumble as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for us. They were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. There is so much wrapped up into mm-hmm. this story because Paul is just pulling things together and he's pulling a principle that's woven into the story about what a grumbling heart looks like and what a faith heart looks like. And that's why Moses is such a great example for us and Aaron is such a great example for us because they, rather than grumbling, they stood out and chose to be grateful and to request and to make request of God and to count on him.
And you're talking about the overarching principle. One of the things for me that comes out of it that's a specific is that I find that I sort of like to redefine these words. Like, I'm not blaming God.
Right.
I'm just telling you how I feel.
Uh-huh.
Or I have the right to my feelings. And you can't tell me I can't have these feelings.
You should see her looking at me right now. Well acted, Bernadette. Well acted.
But I'm just saying it's a testing issue, isn't it? How else do you think we actually test God in our culture?
Yeah, well, in lots of different
mm-hmm.
ways. I mean, when I look at the just the rejection of the Ten Commandments, just them in and of themselves, if you look at how we just say, well, I don't care about that, or that doesn't mean that, or I'm mm-hmm. just going to dump that.
Mm-hmm.
We
I'll do eight of them, but skip these other two over here.
Yeah, which will eventually lead to none of them, right?
Yeah, that's right.
He ends this passage in 1 Corinthians 10 with these words, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Now, think about the Israelites and think about all the situations they found themselves in
mm-hmm.
and how Moses, you know, by and large, he didn't fall for the temptation except that one time
yes.
when he struck the rock and think about what that cost him. So that kind of shows you how important it is to God. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
It's pretty cool.
You know, I know that when I'm tempted to complain or grumble about whatever it is, like spouses or friends or bosses or our leaders, churches, there are a million of them. I mean, there are just a million things. When I do that, I know I'm not believing that God really did give me this leader, whether it's at work or at church or in politics, or that this is the neighborhood he wants me in right now. Right. It really is easy to look at the other side and think it's greener rather than, and that's such a huge temptation. And God is saying in this verse that there are ways out of that temptation. It's to talk to him about it.
Well, and that question, am I not enough for you? I mean, I think that idea, is God enough for his people? And I think the person who, you know, rejects the grumbling heart and takes the path of the grateful heart is addressing that.
Mm-hmm.
Humility is the companion of faith. And, you know, Moses himself, I think, wrote that he was the humblest man on the face of the earth, right?
Yes.
Wasn't he the one that said it? Now, that is humility, my friend. Humility is a companion of faith. Grumbling consumes the spiritual heart. It just, like we said at the beginning, it kind of eats your lunch, your mm-hmm. spiritual lunch. And what happens with grumblers is grumblers spawn more grumblers
mm-hmm.
and more grumbling. So choose your friends and your influencers wisely, because you hang around with grumbling people, not good.
Yeah, I was struck, you know, when we hit this point about at one point there were 17,000 people that God took out, another time 23,000. You know, it's really easy to think that we don't have influence, that my little bit of complaining isn't influential, but it is hugely influential. Discontent grows really fast, and it doesn't take long. Pretty soon, everyone's grousing. There's an undercurrent of dissatisfaction, and it's really unhealthy.
Well, and Jesus understood this in his teaching, and the apostles understood it as well. In fact, this is what you just said, Galatians chapter 5. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another.
Mm-hmm.
So there are big things at stake here when it comes to choosing a life that does not include large amounts of grumbling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the antidote is to love each other well. It says that in an earlier part of the verse, and that's what keeps us free.
Yeah.
Is to love each other well versus grumbling.
Biting and devouring.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that looks so many different ways. And that's one of the huge concerns I have for our country right now. When I watch our leadership and what goes on between people, there's a lot of biting
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of devouring, and it just consumes
mm-hmm.
everybody.
And it's not healthy for any of us.
I want to end today with Ephesians chapter 4 as it relates to Israel and her grumbling heart. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. Also put away malice. Be kind to one another. And this is the other side of it. Kind, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Forstream.com is a collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of a kingdom life. If you'd like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to forstream.com and click on the radio button. There are a lot of different resources for you there as well at forstream.com.
Together we are finding hope at forstream.com.
Some of the great kingdom passages and concepts are covered in posts at forthstream.com. We think you're going to like it.